Amen. So good to be in His presence, to worship Him today. We have a special guest with us today, our superintendent who oversees our conference, is here with us this morning to share a good word about the church. And so I am simply going to introduce Mike, turn it over to him, and let him pray for us and take it from here. And so I've known Mike for many years. He's been our superintendent now for several years. He's pastored for many years before that. Please welcome this morning our superintendent, Mike Hopper.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be with you this morning. As I think of how God has worked through this church to impact this community for Jesus Christ, it brings great joy to me. And I'm sure as you think of God's working through you, we celebrate that. And it's also something across our conference that is celebrated. God's working through you to impact this area. So we celebrate that. Yesterday, as I was driving into town, I stopped by the old church, and I like to take pictures of our Free Methodist churches as I travel places and even ones that we've moved out of. And just to think how God has worked and how He has brought you to where you are today. How many of you here were a part of worship back there at that church? Were involved in that? Okay. Several of you. Great. I'm thankful for the good foundation that was laid for this church today in what happened back there. By way of introduction, I need to let you know that for 22 years, I pastored the Fillmore, Minnesota Free Methodist Church. And during that time, my wife and I and my son became very dedicated Minnesota Viking fans. So I just love seeing the purple that's in here. And my wife actually chose to go with my son, who's got season tickets, to the game today. So if you look 20 rows up in the end zone, one of the end zones, you might see my wife, and you probably won't be able to pick her out of the crowd. I do apologize to Viking fans here wearing the green that I am today. It is not that I support that team that we played last week that beat us. That was a sad day with Green Bay coming through and beating us. But it's good to be here, and I thank God for this church. I thank God for your pastor, and people across our church are celebrating what God has done here, and we're also praying for your pastor as he prepares for his surgery coming up on October 4th, and I want to challenge you to pray and continue to lift your pastor to the Lord as he has that cancer surgery. Let's pray. God, our Father, you are a great and awesome God. We have come together to worship you. You are here, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, stir us, challenge us, draw us ever closer to you. I pray, Father, that through the words that I share this morning, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to become more and more what you desire for us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his honor and glory. Amen. Amen. First picture we could. If someone asked you, where is the Motley Free Methodist Church, how would you answer them? You might maybe define it by location to the highway that goes through town, or you might say 33 East Wellwood Street, which I don't know, that's probably not a big street to be identified by, so it's good you had the highway view there. But is that where the church is really? Actually, the church is the people. And so if someone says, where is the Motley Free Methodist Church? Maybe a better answer would be, well, it's in Motley, and it's in Staples, and it's in Pillager, and Leader, and Bertha, and it's in Morrison County, and Todd County, and Cass County. I think you can probably see all those from here, right? We're kind of at a junction of those things. And that's really where the church is. It's in all those different locations. Now, while the church is the people, one biblical image for the church is a building. The Bible points out that there are many similarities between a building or the building process and the church. And we're going to look at that this morning at two particular passages, maybe a few others as well. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, and then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And I'm going to project those in a moment. But notice as we read through those scriptures, all the references to building, church building, either the building process or a building structure. And so next slide here. This is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Consequently, Paul writing to the Ephesians, he says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Notice all the references to building, either the act of building or a building structure. Okay, next slide. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "As you come to him," Jesus Christ, "as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones," you ever think of yourself as being a stone? "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." I love watching construction projects. Years ago, while pastoring down in Fillmore, and Fillmore is so far south, we're only about 20 miles north of the Iowa border, so just barely into Minnesota. But while I pastored there, our church went through two separate building projects. And the parsonage was right next to the church, so I was able to watch the construction going on, and I loved to do that. Now, I knew that if Fillmore was going to build a church building that was going to stand strong for a long time, that they didn't want to put a hammer in my hands. They didn't want me constructing it. So I tended to clean up afterwards. You know, I got really good at the broom. I took about 2,000 pictures for each of our two building projects. One was a new sanctuary, classrooms, offices, and a kitchen area. And then our second phase was the building of a fellowship hall, a gymnasium-type facility. But it was a joy to watch as the plans were made, as the foundation was laid, as the walls went up, the roof went over, as the construction was done, and then as we dedicated those facilities and moved into them. And so this morning, let's think about the church. Let's think about the church as a building and consider similarities between the construction process and what God wants to do in our lives. Next slide. So this shows you the facility that we built. Now, when you're building, what's the first thing that you need? What's the first thing? First, you build a foundation. But even before the foundation, you got to have plans. You got to have a design. Next slide. So we developed a design. We actually had a very thorough design for phase one, phase two construction. But then our old church was on this side, and then this was the design for our fellowship hall. You need to have a plan so that those who are doing the construction know what to do. They know what materials to buy and all. Just as we had plans for our church building, God has plans for the church. God has plans for us as individuals. Let's look at the next slide. The prophet Jeremiah wrote these words of God to the nation Israel. He said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, I have plans for you, nation Israel, And then he begins to share some of those details. Now, earlier in Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the word of the Lord came to me being Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So not only did God have a plan generally for the nation Israel, he also had a plan for the prophet Jeremiah. Now, I have a question for, I think most of the children are gone, but maybe those who are left who are children. There was a guy in the Bible named Noah, and God had a plan for his life to build something. The children here, any of you know, what did God want Noah to build? I see some whispering the answer to the side. He wanted him to build a real nice Model T Ford car, right? No, he wanted him to build a house. No, what was it? It was a boat, an ark. And then when you look in the scriptures, you find a very detailed description of what was to be built. Next slide. God has a blueprint or plan for each of our lives. He has a plan for me and he has a plan for you. And let me share with you a little bit of that plan this morning. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 goes on to say, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God wants everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to have a personal relationship with him through trusting in Jesus. Now, everyone, let's see, that would include at least half of those here, right? Actually, everyone is every one of us here. Everyone in Motley, everyone in the three surrounding counties, everyone in the state of Minnesota, everyone in the United States or North America or the world. God wants everyone to come to repentance. Now, does that mean that everyone does that and everyone makes it to heaven? No. He leaves the choice up to us. And we can choose whether or not to accept or reject Christ. But God's plan for you is that you would accept Jesus, that you would come to a point of repentance. Have you done that? Have you accepted Christ into your life? If not, I would encourage you, let today be the day of salvation. That's part of God's plan. But God doesn't leave us there. It goes on. Next slide. Now the Lord is Spirit. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness, into Christ's likeness, with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So God wants us to come to a point of repentance where we accept Christ. But he also then wants us to grow in our faith and to become more and more like Christ. God desires for his Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives, for his sanctifying work to happen within us. Another part of God's plan is he calls us to make disciples. Jesus was crucified on the cross, placed in the tomb. He rose on the third day. And then shortly before he ascended up to heaven, he gave the great commission to his followers. He said, therefore, go and make disciples. And so he calls us to make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for each of us. So you get the plans, and then the next thing is you lay a foundation. Next slide here. When I came out of Asbury Seminary, I was appointed to pastor our Free Methodist Church in Greensburg, Indiana. Now, Greensburg is about halfway between Indianapolis, Indiana, and Cincinnati, Ohio, right on Interstate 74. And I was appointed to pastor there. And the church building that was there in Greensburg for the Free Methodist Church was only about 20 years old. And on the backside, there were steps like this. Now, do you notice anything wrong about those steps? They're kind of pulling away from the building, kind of going down. What's the problem here? They didn't have a good foundation under it. And so there's been erosion and whatever to bring it to where you see there. Now, that's not actually a picture of the church. It's one that kind of illustrates it. I didn't go around and take a picture of that step of that long time ago. But if a building is to last, care and attention needs to be given to the foundation. Next slide here. And so when we built that new fellowship hall, that gymnasium, phase two of our construction, we did a lot of digging and a lot of groundwork, and then you pour the cement, the footings there, and all. We wanted to have a solid foundation under the building that we were going to build. The scripture tells us, next slide, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And when I think of the apostles and prophets, I think of God's word as part of the foundation for our lives, and certainly Jesus Christ as that foundation. That foundation is so important. If we try to build on other things, we're going to find that the foundation is not going to last. I know it'd be easy for me to build on my awesome good looks. No. But that's going to pass with time. I loved it this morning. A lady at the hotel, I just stayed down the street. She said, I was telling about my grandkids. She said, oh, you don't look old enough to have grandkids. I like to hear that. A lot of times people say, how old do you think I am? And people say, oh, about 45. I love to hear that. I'm actually 60 years old. So my dad was young, looked young for his age, and I got the genes here. But if we build on things other than Jesus Christ, popularity, position, whatever, that foundation's not going to last. Jesus told his followers these words in the close of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine but does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What is the foundation for your life? Next picture here. When I was 10 years old, I went to my uncle's house. He was a pastor in northern Indiana, a man who loved the Lord, and they were having tent meetings at his church. And I remember at the close of the tent meetings, people would come forward and they would kneel at the front. And I'd never seen that before as a 10-year-old. And so when I was with my parents, my dad was driving the Chevy station wagon, the 61 there, and my mom right beside him. I was in the back seat right behind them. And I started asking them, what was happening there? Why were people going forward and kneeling there? Explain that to me. And they explained, well, they were going forward to ask Jesus into their lives. And I said, can I do that? And they said, yes. And so as we were cruising down the highway, my mom and dad led me to faith in Christ. I confessed my sins to God and I invited Jesus into my life. And that began the laying of a foundation in my life that I am still building on to this day. Is Jesus the foundation for your life? Is he the focus for your living, your reason for living? Does your life revolve around him? God has a plan. We need to have that foundation of Jesus Christ. And then next we build on that foundation. You know, it seemed like forever we were digging in the ground and pouring the footings, and it just took so long. But then when we started building the walls, things went up quickly. And I think this was probably about a day's work. There on that foundation, you know, you got to wait and wait for the construction, and then finally it happens, and it's kind of exciting to build on the foundation. Paul wrote these words, By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Each one should be careful how he builds. How are we doing as far as building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Next slide. And back to 1 Peter, it says, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are like living stones. You know, when I hear this scripture, I think, wow, I'm like a stone. We had a professor at Asbury Seminary, and his name was Livingston. And he loved the Lord, and he had really good things to say. And I think in my youthfulness, a number of us just thought he was kind of like a living stone, you know, teaching and stuff. But as I think about this scripture, I think, I'm like a stone. What kind of stone am I in the building that God is creating, that he's putting together, called the church? It says, as you come to him, the living stone, Jesus is called a stone as well, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built. The building process is ongoing. It's happening. Into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That process is ongoing. We are being built. God is doing his building work within us. Now, that work began, next slide here, at creation. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God's designed us. In fact, his design is so awesome that we are called fearful and wonderful. Not fearful like Frankenstein, but awesome and wonderful. You know, if someone tries to tell you that you're worthless and that you're dirt or trash or whatever, remember what God says. You are precious in his sight. You are valuable in his sight. In fact, you matter so much to him that he allowed his son to stretch out his arms and die on the cross for you. Your worth is incredible. And so that construction began at conception. And the events of our lives have helped build us into who we are today. The experiences that we've had as children, as youth, and as adults, our interactions with parents, with pastors, teachers, and other persons have helped shape our values and our perspectives on life. Things from the past have built into our lives. But some internal construction, let's consider the internal construction that God may want to do in our lives. Next slide. What does God want to do in our lives? Next slide here. When we were building the gymnasium, phase two of our construction, there was a walnut tree right in what would be right in the middle of the gymnasium floor. Now, we thought for a while that we would just leave that there. I imagine you don't know many gymnasiums that have a walnut tree right in the middle. No, we didn't give that much consideration. We got rid of that really quick. And you can see the stump here that we had there. We had a logger in the church, and he cut the tree down and hauled a lot away. And then this stump we burned because we knew that that would be in the way of what the construction was supposed to bring about. Now, in the building of our sanctuary, and we built a 220-seat sanctuary, there had been an old metal shed right where that sanctuary was. And it was rusted, and when you got in it, there was just all kinds of junk. I think people in the church or neighborhood just piled stuff in there. But also the squirrels had gone to the walnut trees, and they had taken lots of the walnuts and put them in that shed, and apparently that's where they had their snack shack or something. So there were all kinds of nuts and stuff there. And so we had to make a decision. Are we going to leave this old metal rusted shed right in the middle of where our sanctuary would be, or would we get rid of it? Well, it's not a tough decision. You can't get rid of it. We recycled the metal and then burned down the rest of the frame of the shed and hauled off what trash that we needed to do. Sometimes there can be rubble in our lives that God wants to do his construction work But because of that rubble, it gets in the way. That rubble can be lies that we have come to believe. My mom grew up in eastern Kentucky, Appalachian Mountains, barefooted, daughter of a coal miner. Her mom left when she was 3 years old. And my mother's relatives said to her that she would not amount to anything. And she was told as a little girl growing up in the hills and hollers of eastern Kentucky, little girls stink, little girls stink. That was just ingrained into her mind. My mom ended up graduating from high school, which was a big thing just for that area. Then she graduated from Asbury College, and then she graduated from Asbury Seminary with a master's degree and got a second master's degree. Maybe she was challenged by some of the stuff that was told her. But it may be that you've been told some lies, that you won't amount to anything, or you're worthless, or maybe Satan has lied. Because you've sinned, you're worthless to the kingdom of God. And so there may be some rubble like that that we need to clean out. And it may be Christian counseling might be the means, and my mom went to Christian counseling, and that was very helpful for her. But there may be rubble from that. Maybe we have been involved in the past in occultic activities. When I was a young person and I started going to the Free Methodist Church, we had in our house a Ouija board. Have you seen? And I didn't know what, I think my parents, when they got it, just thought, oh, that's just another game. But it's very much tied into to the occult and stuff. And this Ouija board, I remember when I realized what it was, I took it to our burner barrel in the backyard. I put it in there with some bunch of other trash and I burned it and got rid of it. There may be things, there may be rubble in our lives from occultic practices or from addictions that we need to put in the burner barrel and get rid of it. Because it's in the way of the construction. It's in the way of what God wants to build in us and through our church. And so one of the first steps as we think of God doing His work, as we're building on that foundation of Jesus Christ, is there rubble that we need to remove? Now, another thing that helps build is God's Word. As we think about the Scriptures here, God's Word is a great construction tool. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we have the Scriptures open and we read them and we study them and we seek to apply it to our lives, that can be God doing His construction work. If God's Word is closed all the time, if we're not getting into God's Word on a regular basis, it's hard for God to do that construction in our lives. And so I would encourage you to daily get into the Word of God. Get involved in any Bible studies that there may be. Learn God's Word and allow God's Word to speak to you. An important part of God shaping my life in the study of God's Word was through a ministry called Bible Quizzing. When I was growing up, I accepted Christ in my life when I was 10. I didn't start growing in my faith till I was 16 when I got involved in Bible Quizzing. At the time, I could quote to you three verses of the Bible. John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I also knew John 11:35. How many of you know John 11:35? Well, you know it. You just don't know you know it. Jesus wept. John 11:35. You can say, I memorized another verse in church this morning and say, I got that one down. So I knew that one. But I got involved in a ministry called Bible Quizzing. And my first year, I was a competitor. I swam in competition for 13 years. And so my first year, I memorized Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Next year, Romans and James. Next year, the Gospel of John. And what I put in my mind, the Holy Spirit took and began to work in my heart and showed me areas that I needed to surrender to God or things that God wanted to do in my life if I would be open to it. I'm not saying you got to memorize whole books of the Bible, though that would be great. But be in God's Word. Read God's Word. Memorize it as you're able. And allow God to do His construction work in your life. Now, another way that God does His work is as we spend time with other believers that can build us up. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. It's great to come together for worship like this. But it's good to be in small group meetings or meet together with other believers in their home so we can talk about how is it with your soul? How are you doing spiritually? And encourage one another and build one another up. Sometimes people will say to me, they'll say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, probably technically you don't, though the scripture does say neglect not the assembling of yourselves with one another, but encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. But if we aren't together with other believers, we're going to miss out on the encouragement that we could receive from them. If I'm out fishing and I'm not around other believers, how are those other believers going to encourage me? But the other thing that happens, and sometimes we don't realize this, is not only am I going to miss out on the encouragement I could receive from other believers, but those believers are going to miss out on the encouragement they could receive from me. So when someone says, oh, I don't have to go to a church, say, well, you're going to miss out. But also other people are going to miss out on what you could do for them. Kind of a interesting way, I think, to look at that. So are we encouraging one another? Are we accountable to one another? Now, how we build our lives today affects our families and ministry and the people of our churches, not only today, but into the future. In Him, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, and in Him you also are being built. Notice the process. It's ongoing. Together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. How we are built today affects the next generation. You know, I think of that old building that I saw out this way. Is that right? Okay. Sometimes I can get turned around here. Things that happened there affect this church today. This church wouldn't be here today were it not for what happened out there. And what happens in this church, what happens in us as God's people, is going to affect what the church will be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the next generation. Are we allowing God to do His building work in us to create a wonderful building, spiritual building, for the next generation? Your walk with the Lord affects not only you, but it's going to affect those who come after you. Now, maybe you've seen this place, local Pizza Hut restaurant. Leaning Tower of Pisa. I got the pizza right. It's not pizza, Pisa. But this tower was built in 1174 AD. Construction began. And it was built in three phases until its completion 175 years later. Now, as you know, this bell tower leans considerably, and some feel that it might fall over. There's been different things done to kind of shore up the foundation and all. A poor foundation contributed to the lean, as well as the fact that the second builders had to build on what the first builders had, and the third builders had to build on what the second did. And so it just created what you see before you. Are we a solid structure for future generations to build on? What will our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, should the Lord tarry and all, not have to build on? So, you have the plans, you have the foundation, you build the structure, and then, next slide, you mark it off and say, no one touched this. This is like a museum. You just look at it, right? No. Next slide. We put it to use. You can see the basketball goal at the end. There's a four-square structure in the floor. There's a full volleyball court in there. We had in-floor heat, so it was nice during the wintertime. Cost a little more to put in-floor heat in, but the utility bills were less overall because of that on the long run. And so we would have senior citizens go in there and walk around during the winter, we wouldn't allow them to bring their cross-country skis in there. We had young people who would play basketball or volleyball. We'd have it was an activity area for our Sunday school class and for our meals. And I'm not sure if this was an Easter breakfast or what this was for, but we put it to use. Similarly, we were created by the master builder, God Almighty, to be used for His honor and glory. Construction with a purpose. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words, "Then I, Isaiah, heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I, Isaiah, said, 'Here am I, send me.'" God wants to use us to make a difference in this world for Christ. That's why He's doing that building. Yes, He wants to create within us a Christ-like individual who loves Him and all, but He desires to use us to make a difference in this world and to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. What does the master builder want to do through you? How does He want to use you? Do we have that same attitude like Isaiah? "Here am I, send me." Well, let me close with a story, a picture of a house here. This isn't the actual house, but it kind of illustrates it. A young man was working for a construction company, and he was engaged to marry the boss's daughter. And so one day, the boss came to the young man, gave him a sum of money, a large sum of money, to build a nice house for the construction company. The boss said, "You can build it however you want. You have the freedom to create whatever you want." So the young man cut corners. The walls were thin. Hopefully he wasn't building that house in Minnesota. They were not well insulated. The materials he used were substandard. The construction was done very quickly and without much thoroughness. And then the young man took the extra money and pocketed it. When the project was all completed, the boss came up to the young man, pulled the keys out of his pocket, and he said, "Consider this a wedding gift." What quality of church are we building by our lives? Next slide. The church is like a building. Yes, it's the people, but it's like a building. What does God want to build in our lives? Is there some rubble that needs to be removed? Maybe as you've heard this message, God has said, "Yes, you know, this part of your life, you need to give it over to God. You need to put it in the burner barrel." Are you willing to do that? Maybe you've bought into some lies, and the truth of God's word is telling you, you have incredible worth. What rubble might there be to be removed? Then are you opening God's word? We don't read God's word just to say we read it. We don't do a chapter just say, "Okay, I got my chapter done today." We do it because God uses this to build in us. Are we spending time with other believers? And not just like, I almost said something about the Vikings there. We don't want to talk about last week's game. We'll talk about it. But do we talk about the weather and stuff? Or do we get beyond that and say, how is it with your soul? How are you doing spiritually? What are you getting out of God's word recently? Are we reading God's word? Are we sharing in a spiritual way with other believers? And then are we available to be used by God? God's construction work. We are His building. We are living stones. I want to be the best living stone that I can be in that church structure that God has, that I'm a part of. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. God, our Father, You are a great and awesome God. And we count it a privilege that You have a plan for us, that You want us to know You and live for You. And You want us to be Your church. Father, help each of us to be the kind of living stones that You want us to be, the best that we can possibly be. Father, do your construction in us. Show us any rubble that needs to be removed, and God, by your power and strength and guidance, may that be removed. Father, speak to us as we open your word and challenge us, convict us. Father, in our relationships with other believers in this church, help us to grow and mature. And Father, do your work through us. Here we are. Send us. Use us. So Father, pour out your blessing on this church and upon each living stone, each person who's a part of this church. And do your work in us and through us for your honor and glory. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.